Our sermon text for this Sunday of Pentecost is going to be taken from Romans. Romans chapter 8, and we're going to read verses 1 through 17. And you can remain seated because it's an epistle text. And so we'll read from Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 1 and continuing through 17 in Jesus' name. There is, therefore, now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemn sin in the flesh. In order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who are walking according, not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus from the dead will also give you life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if the Spirit is in you, you put death to the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, where we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and fellowship heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Father, this is your word that is before us. So we ask by the power of your Spirit that you would speak and men and flesh would be silent. We ask that you would just calm us, allow us to hear, and allow us to proclaim. We ask it in his name. Amen. The interesting thing about Pentecost Sunday is so many times we have a tendency to like just analyze it that day. Well, the power of the Holy Spirit now comes. But I wish that for myself, and I would even say it for you, that we would understand and know that the Spirit is present in our life every day. That we are not, as I said up there, just sojourners, but rather that God's Spirit dwells with us by grace through faith, and that he has allowed us to be partakers. That we aren't just wandering around, that we're not just wandering generalities, but actually we're meaningful specifics in Christ, that we can go into this world, deal with issues, deal with struggles, deal with pressures, and look at it through the eyes of the Spirit, that we would be encouraged. This is how we were to raise our children. This is how we are to have marriages. If we were to rely on our flesh, in the aspect of our marriage, how successful would we be? We'd probably be like the divorce rate of America, wouldn't we? And I'm not making fun of it. It's sad. If we were to deal with our children only with the ability of our flesh, how would we bring restoration with our relationships with our children? How would we bring corrective criticism? How would we encourage them? How would we allow them to grow? We need the Spirit in our lives to give us not the liberal word of tolerance, but the true word of spiritual tolerance, where we would have grace for one another, where we would understand and know that everybody is growing as they move forward in life. We can't gauge everybody according to the yardstick of our years. I have a tendency to do that. I look at my son and I think, what a bonehead. Why is he doing that? Well, when I was his age, I did a lot of dumber things. See, we have a tendency to forget as we're growing that we all mature and we all learn different levels, different styles, but we're all headed towards the same goal. Well, in spiritual realm, it's no different. We are all looking to Jesus Christ as the author and finisher of our faith. There's no doubt about it. But not all of us are going to be on the same exact step. We need to be patient with one another. We need to be encouraging with one another. We need to allow that Spirit to work in our lives. And that's what the day of Pentecost really reveals to us. Come back to your roots. Come back to what you know. That God is consistent. That God is always in favor of restoration. And that we don't have to journey alone. We're not going through cancer alone in Christ. We're not going through the divorce or the bitterness alone in Christ. We're not going through battles of family alone when we're in Christ. We seek his wisdom, his insight, his guidance in all things. But Jesse has a tendency to forget that. And he wants to do it himself. He sees a problem, he wants to fix it. But there's a calling. Come back to what you know. God, how? How can restoration take place? Give me the power of your word. Give me the power of your spirit and help me to grow through this situation. This text opens in such a powerful way. It really does. And we could just preach verse 1 and go have our lunch. We could preach hours on verse 1. We're not going to, but we could. Because I really would pray that I would hear this verse. But as your pastor, I would pray that we all hear this verse. This to me is the crux of the Christian message. Paul is sharing with the Romans. He said, there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Do we hear that? Do we hear the freedom that comes in the finished work of Jesus Christ? Who's your biggest critic? I mean, maybe it's your mother-in-law. Is that the joke of the day? I don't know. Oftentimes it's ourselves, isn't it? We often are the last to forgive ourselves. We're often the last to actually give ourselves any kudos. We often can be very hard on ourselves. And we have a tendency to allow the adversary to bring up canceled sin, to bring up difficulty in our life, to remind us of where we came from. But the word is from. That's not who we are. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus. Each and every one of us, by grace through faith, it is a gift of God. Not of your own works, lest you would be boasting about it. God has done something wonderful for each and every one of you, and I'm going to say in each and every one of you. So the first thing that Paul wants us to hear today is there is therefore, on account of everything he talked about in the last chapter, basically Christ taking and paying the penalty of the sin debt, completing the entire law, and now by grace through faith we receive that. He says, therefore, there is no condemnation. You are not damned by God. And there's two ways of looking at this. It's kind of interesting. Because the adversary oftentimes will kind of use this against us. First of all, he tells the unbeliever, there's no condemnation. So we live in a world right now, whether you want to acknowledge it or not, that says, there ain't no sin out there. Anything goes. And if you're a Christian, you need to receive me. And you need to accept the fact of who I am and say, all is well. That's not what this text says. The adversary is spewing that lie out there for a lot of people. But what does it say? Look at it, what it says. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It's for those that are in Christ. He didn't come to take sin out of the world. He came for the penalty of sin. And that we would have an imputed righteousness. But the general world basically says, party time, anything goes. You know, really, anything goes. You're not living in sin. You're just saving money. You guys are cohabitating. Saves a lot of money. That's fine. That's what the adversary says. Then you turn around and say, our world, our generation, or the newer generation, oftentimes, I just had this conversation with some younger men. Basically, it's just sex. That's all it is. It doesn't really count. It doesn't matter. And plus, God gave us these desires. That's often what we talk about. You know, well, God gave us these desires. We're just answering to these things. Of course he did. Yeah, God gave you a desire for the woman, but he didn't say you could have every woman. But the adversary says it doesn't matter. But that's not the truth. It does matter. But now it is the power of the Holy Spirit governing in our lives. That yes, we are free in Christ. There's no doubt about it. But the Spirit still speaks to us. Do we listen to his Spirit? Are we involved in Christ Jesus? Do we live our life in his care? So it's not just saying anything goes. He's saying there's no condemnation when you are found in Christ. So the statement that people say, well, Christ Jesus came to make us free. So I'm free. And absolutely, but the scripture seems to make it sound like you're free to serve. Not just free to yourself in selfishness, but free to serve. But now we live according to the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to ask you a question. And maybe we shouldn't even talk about ourselves. Maybe we should look at, say, our 10-year-old grandchild, because we're a little more sensitive and alert on that. Is the Holy Spirit going to tell your 10-year-old grandchild to go and monkey around? No. Is it going to tell your grandchild to go abuse drugs? No. Is it going to tell your 10-year-old grandchild to do this, this, and this? No. The Spirit isn't going to lead us, bringing it back to human beings of adult age, into paths of unrighteousness. The Spirit leads us in paths of righteousness. And that is something that I think we miss at times when we talk about, or when the general public talks about, the freedom we have in Christ. Well, it doesn't matter. You're supposed to love no matter what. Yes, you are. We love the individuals. But the behavior isn't always so attractive. And there are still boundaries. Probably old school to say that, right? But the fact of it is, that is the truth. But the Spirit now leads. It's not a letter of a law, because the letter of the law, there was absolutely nothing wrong with it. But it didn't work because we were wrong. We were flawed. We have this flesh. So therefore, God tried a different plan. He sent his Son. And his Son fulfilled the law in every little jot and tittle. He fulfilled everything. And now by grace through faith, we have an imputed righteousness through Christ Jesus, where we are free. Are we still going to mess up? Sure. But what happens when we truly mess up? Well, let me ask you a different question. What happens when you mess up with your husband or wife? They often tell you. They might be more gentle, like my wife, or more harsh, like me. What'd you do that for? But the fact of it is, in a good relationship, One will tell another when there's a problem, where somebody messed up. Is it any different with God? He loves you. His love for you is undying. His love for you is even to the point where he gave himself. Will that same God not tell you? Does he not speak with a still small voice? Does he not guide and lead and direct? That's how we're led now. We're not led so much by only a letter of a law. We are led now by an indwelling spirit that we would also understand and know. But sometimes I think Jesse has a tendency to damper that. Yeah, okay, maybe I'm gossiping about, you know, my buddy. That doesn't really matter, does it? Yes. You know that spirit's there because the question would be, well, maybe I'm gossiping. God is there present in our life. But the question that I'm going to ask is, do we ask for his help? Do we literally say, Lord, I'm struggling in this area. I'm struggling with happiness. I'm struggling with anger. I'm struggling with gossip. I'm struggling with lust. I'm struggling with desire or greed. I'm struggling with hatred. Help me. Help me in this situation. I guess what I'm just saying is maybe to be effectual believers that we would actually ask God to be present in our life, to actually work in our life and help us through these moments of the flesh. We're not just sojourning. We are the children of God. And so he says, we are now, basically, he says straightforward, wow, I'm not going to get this whole thing done. That's what I mean about this one verse. Do we know who we are? Do we know as the children of God that we are not condemned because of Christ Jesus? He says, for the law of the Spirit, and now understand what this means. This means more or less of the working. The word law here means working. He says, so the working, I'm going to translate that, the working of the Spirit of life has set you free. The Spirit operating, working in your life, gives you this freedom. As I said earlier, the Spirit's not going to lead you in paths of unrighteousness. That's me. That's my flesh, your flesh. He says, but now the working of the Spirit basically has set you free in Christ. He says, from what? The law or the working of sin and death. We are no longer beheld to this sin, to this death that we would have to die because of sin. For God has done, he says, what the law weakened. Now he goes back to the real law, his written word. He says, God has done something. The law was weakened by your fallenness, by that struggle that we have. Is it wrong to gossip? Is it wrong to do this? Is it wrong to do that? He's speaking to us, but sometimes we silent that. He says, for God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. How did he take care of this problem? How did he resolve us? By sending his son. He sent him in the likeness of sinful flesh. In other words, he took on the body, the human, Adam. He took on the human. He wasn't sin. He came in the form of human. He says, and basically for sin, in other words, because of this sin, because of this fallen nature of human beings, he nailed it to the cross. That's one way to say it. He condemned it. He ended this. Jesus took our penalty. He took our debt, and he nailed it to that cross. But so many times, as I opened with, we have the hardest time forgiving ourselves. That's the adversary whispering in our ear. Did God really say? Didn't he do that in Genesis? So he condemned this. He says, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in everybody else but you. Is that what it says? No. In order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. Jesus did this work for us. You are free. You are a new creature. in Christ Jesus. Everything the world throws at you in Christ is false. Living on your own and trying to figure it out in your flesh, sure, it's a mess. But we are not servants to the flesh. We are servants to Christ Jesus by grace through faith. He says, so, he basically, in order that this righteous requirement would be filled in all of us who walk what? Not according to our flesh, listening to that. He says, but rather to the Spirit. This is what I was speaking about. Christ Jesus being active in our lives. Do we ask him? Do we seek from him? Do we pray to him? I'm sure we do. But in the moments of our temptation, I fail so often. Have you ever? This word is a reminder. Come back to the trough. Come back to those fountains of living water. Each and every day. This is why Paul says, I crucify this flesh daily. It's not just a once and done thing. Yes, salvation is there. Salvation is done. But we need the help of the Spirit each and every day. Maybe you don't. I don't know. Have you never gotten mad at somebody? Have you not gossiped? Have you not struggled? Have you not had greed? Jesse has. But one thing Jesse's assured by the word of God is that we are forgiven in Christ Jesus. And what I'm trying to say is stop looking to that. And look to him. Look to Christ Jesus, who takes the penalty of our sin debt. He says very plainly, he says now, he says that we would not be following the flesh, but rather we would go towards the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, which we often find ourselves being kind of pulled in that direction. He says, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set your mind on the flesh is a dead-end road. It says death. Is death. He said, but to set your mind on the Spirit is peace. You know, when you deal with this whole thing of what's going on in a church at the end of June, there's many nights that I wake up, oh boy, what about this? Oh boy, what about this? And my flesh kind of gets carried away. Well, if I blow it here, I blow it here. The other night I woke up, and you're going to laugh at me, but I was like, I woke up and I could not sleep because I thought, what if that ground's too soft for chairs? What if they start sinking? Now what am I going to do? How do I get enough carpeting to put over that? It's 4,800 square feet for one tent. What do I do? Mind of the flesh. Who's in control of all this? God the Father. Lord, you got an answer. Lord, just let them bring chairs that have a full bottom, not just pegs. I don't know. But this is what just a small earthly example how we can be consumed with the flesh. And I'm not saying wicked thoughts all the time, but something robbing our peace. I told you last week that oftentimes when I can't sleep and I struggle, I continually go through my mind in Psalm 23. Oh, that's directing your mind on the Spirit. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads me. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm not talking about now you can never make a mistake and you got to hold a banner up and every time someone walks in a room, be sober, somber, or speak with a Finnish accent and say something good about God. That's not what I'm talking about. Allow the Spirit to be active in our lives. That we would trust him in all situations, whether we're dealing with a sick relative, an aging relative, a wayward child, a struggle in my own life. Lord, help me. Help this situation. Be with my relative. Be with my friend. Be with my children. Lord God, I need you each and every day because my fleshly mind wants to say all the problems. But your Spirit says, here's the solution. It's the solution. He says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set the things on the minds of the Spirit. For to set your mind on the flesh is death, but to set your mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh, it's against God. It's actually arguing against God, not in your favor. He says very plainly, he says, for it doesn't submit to his working. He has a plan. He has a plan for each and every one of us. Indeed, the flesh can't. It will not submit. The flesh will not inherit, the scripture says, the kingdom of God. It can't. It's fallen. Those who are in flesh, honestly, in your flesh, you can't please God. And this doesn't just mean abstaining from something naughty. Religiously doing things in the flesh, following just a certain parameter, a certain system, a certain way, because this is the way we do it. That is the flesh operating in a 7-step program. It can't please God. It's by grace through faith. It's through him alone. You, however, and he wants to remind you that, and I want to reiterate his words by you being here, but also you listening online, and those that have been taught and have wandered away, you are not who that is supposed to be. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. He says, if in fact the spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the spirit of God, of Christ, does not belong to him. This is just the reality. It's either you're in or you're out. That's it. It's not, I'm a kind of a Christian. Sort of a Christian. Do you believe in the finished work of Jesus Christ? Is he your Savior? Has his blood paid for your sin debt? You're free. Oh, you're going to goof up. You don't think you goof up? I got mad today up there. Poor Marcus, thanks be to God, he's a Christian because I was ready to throw that computer off the shelf. You ever have days like that? Thursday, we had it all working, everything worked great. Today you turn it on, nothing works. It's those gremlins, you know, they're in there. But Marcus was gracious enough. He just kept working. Thanks be to God. And so really, he says, you're not that way. And that's where we need to be brought back to. Even when we get angry, even when we get upset. Jesse, that's not who you are in Christ. Bertha, Fred, Albert, Anil, Toivo, that's not who you are in Christ. We need to be reminded, and we need to ask for help. And I literally looked at my wife and Marcus, and I said, I'm going downstairs because I'm supposed to be holy today. And Judy said the right word. She says, God's got it, and he does. God's got it all. He's got it all. And so he says, if Christ is in you, although your body is dead because of sin, in other words, in our fallen nature, he says he gives you life. He says, you know, he says the spirit of life is in you because of his righteousness. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus from the dead will also give your mortal bodies, these earthly struggling bodies. Really what I think he's saying here, you'll overcome. You'll overcome the circumstances. You'll overcome this flesh. You'll overcome all of these struggles when you seek from Christ Jesus. He's in you. He's working. Don't listen to that false voice. Don't listen to that adversary. He says, so brothers, he says, we're not debtors to the flesh. The flesh didn't do anything for us but cause headaches, sleepless nights, and struggles. He says, live according to the Spirit. He says, if you live according to the flesh, he says, you're just going to die. That's it. Done. He says, but the Spirit, he says, if by the Spirit you put death deeds, basically you put to the death your flesh, he says, you will live. You will live. It's not about our fleshly lives. It's about who we are as eternal beings through Christ Jesus. He says, for all who are led by the Spirit are what? And this is not gender specific. You are the children of God. You're the children of God. When you live in Christ Jesus and you're led by his Spirit, you're his children. So let me ask you a question, parent. What wouldn't you do for your children? Oh, we act tough sometimes. Well, if my kid does that, I'm not doing this. And then the wife generally talks to us softly, or the husband talks to the wife, and we come back to rationale, right? But we would do all things for our children if they're good for them. We forgive. Ultimately, we forgive. And you that have younger children, you're going to learn a lot about forgiveness over the next few years. You know, it's the way they teach us. But the point of it is, he says, really, you're led of the Spirit of God. You are the sons of God. You are the children of God. You are the daughters of God. You are no longer condemned. You are free. Free indeed. He says, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery. You're not in slavery. That's why he talks about this freedom. He says, to fall back into fear. He says, but you have received the spirit of adoption. That God has received you. He's received you as his children. He says, and in this, when we're received as children, there's nothing more we can offer except say, Father. Father, thank you. God has done all things for us. He is our Father. And the Spirit himself now bears witness with our inner working. That's what he talks about here, with our inner working, that we are his children. He says, and if we're children, he says, the promise is there. Then we're heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ Jesus. Remember Jesus says, who is my mother? Who is my father? Who are my brothers? It is they. It is they who follow, who believe, provided that we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. In other words, to pick up our cross and follow Jesus. That's what it's about. It's not about our performance. It's not about our past. It's about who we know, whom we trust, and whom we seek strength from. So we're going to end this message with one last word. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Thanks be to God, because of his great, great gift of grace, we are free. May we remember that now, and I'm going to say even that next evening when the struggles of the flesh start coming into our mind and robbing us of our sleep, that we would seek from Christ Jesus and the power of his Spirit to give us that peace. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, this is your word that was before us, and we ask, Father, that you would just allow it to work in our lives, that we would understand and know of the goodness that you have for us. May we also never forget, Father, that Paul is speaking this in Rome. Just after even the chapter, he said, the good that I would, that I do not do, but the bad that I would not, that I actually do. Who is going to deliver me? I thank God through Christ Jesus. May we all be delivered. May we all be strengthened. And may we all find peace in the power.